It's really good to see all of these people who are interested in outreach. This is a real, real encouragement to everybody because we've got a job to do. The Great Commission applies to all of us. He was a man who was isolated from his society. Because of the nature of the illness that he had, people were scared to talk about it. People didn't use the word. They kind of used euphemisms. They used other words to describe the illness that he had. When they saw him coming, people drew their children a bit closer together to them, and they walked on. He had that disease called leprosy, and he lived really outside the city. And the rare times that perhaps he got in, he really understood his isolation from everybody. Certainly, nobody wanted to touch him. And then this happened. Moved with pity, he, Jesus, stretched out his hand and touched him. You know, there are a lot of people affected by things that make them isolated. And they're just waiting for somebody to stretch out a hand and touch them. Not just the obvious things, but including the obvious things. People touched by the curse of drugs, of alcoholism, of things that diseases that you don't want to get and aren't talked about. Perhaps there's no judgment on those things anymore, the way there might have been 20, 30 years ago. Spent time in Malawi, people there affected by AIDS, maybe through no fault of their own, and even if through fault of their own, they're human beings, people for whom Christ died. He stretched out his hand and touched him. People feel isolated for all sorts of other reasons. They're lonely in this world. Or maybe they're successful. Maybe things are going well for them. But inside, there's that God-shaped gap. He stretched out his hand and touched him. What about Peter on the boat? And Peter has been walking with the Lord on the waves. And gradually all the stuff going on around him has shaken his confidence. And he's not where he used to be with the Lord. And he's sinking. What happens? He was afraid, but it continues. Jesus immediately reached out his hand and took hold of him. Do you know people like that? People who were going on well as Christians, as disciples of the Lord Jesus. People who were the folk you could rely on to get stuff done in the churches of God. And they're not walking with the Lord like that anymore. They're losing their confidence, perhaps in him, perhaps in this fellowship that we belong to. And the Lord's just longing to reach out his hand and pull them back. Have a look at your hands. Go on, do it. Have a look at your hands. Look at the lines on them. I'm not going to ask you to cross my palm with silver or anything, so don't worry. But look at your hands. Look at your fingers and thumbs. These are the hands that the Lord is going to use to reach out and pull these people back. These people who need salvation. These people who need strengthening all around us. The backsliders, the unsaved. Jesus wants to stretch out his hand and touch them and draw them. And these are the hands that he's going to use to do it. That's why this event's called Reach Out, because the Lord's wanting to reach out, and he'll reach out through you and me, God willing. What happens when fishermen stop fishing, when the boat's disused like this? It's a chapter heading, slightly misquoted, I've just realized, from Max Lucado's book, In the Eye of the Storm. Now, that's a book that's well worth reading for a lot of reasons, but there's a chapter in it on outreach with this very challenging title, When Fishermen Stop Fishing. Do you remember that chorus that we all used to think said, I will make you vicious old men? What it really says is, I will make you fishers of men if you follow me. But what happens when the fishermen stop fishing? What happens when we take our eye off the ball and forget that this is the main thrust of our job? What happens then? Forgive me for the squeamish. Churches die when fishermen stop fishing. When people lose this sense that priority is to reach out to lost people, churches die. Church buildings get turned into nightclubs. Places like this get covered in graffiti. That's what happens if we forget about reaching out. Now, I know there are a lot of churches that have closed, and the few that have remained have been very zealous in reaching out. I'm not saying otherwise. But this is one certain consequence. If we stop reaching out, our assemblies will die out. Here's another one. When fishermen stop fishing, nobody hears the gospel, and people live without God. You remember the attitude the Lord Jesus took? He went out and he saw the crowds. I don't know if you ever stand outside Manchester Piccadilly, certainly Glasgow Central, or even Croy Station at 9 o'clock in the morning, and you see the crowds gathered around there. And you realize that there are millions and millions of people, even in this country, living without God. And the Lord looked on the crowds in his own day, and it says his heart was moved with compassion. And really, that word heart, that's a kind of westernization. Really, in the Greek, it's his bowels. It's in his gut that he's touched with these people and the directionless lives they're living. And it says he saw that they were like sheep without a shepherd. No one to guide them through this world. They're like sheep without a shepherd. He was moved with compassion right down in his gut. And he taught them. He stopped and he healed them and he taught them. And he told his disciples that they were to pray for laborers to go out into the harvest. And maybe today, maybe there's somebody that the Lord's calling to be a laborer in his harvest. You know, a laborer is not a casual thing. A laborer, to be a laborer is hard work. People are living without God, without hope and without God in the world. And he's calling us, isn't he, with these hands, to reach out to them and help them. And there's a more serious consequence still. Not only do people live without God when fishermen stop fishing, but they die without God. Hell, the lake of fire, these things are real. They're not just made up to scare children into obeying you. They're real. And people will go there if they don't hear about Christ, if they don't trust in the life belt that he's thrown down on the cross, if they don't trust that he died to take the punishment for all their sins, if they go through life without trusting it, that is where they will be for all eternity. Do you care? Do you care about that? Jesus cares about it. It mattered so much to him that you and I were going there, that he came down from heaven and let men nail him to the cross for you and me. Do you care that people are going there? Go out into the world. Go and preach the gospel to all nations, because it's what he's calling you and me to do. And that's why we're here today, to find that point of contact that will help people to get off the road that's going there and to get onto the road that's going to heaven. That's how important it is. Reach out. He'll reach out with these hands and he'll communicate that message to them. Who reached out to you? You're here today because somebody cared about you. Maybe it was a parent. Maybe it was someone in your church. Maybe it was somebody who just gave you a tract and they've never seen you from that moment since. Who reached out to you? Jesus did. And somebody did. To whom are you going to reach out? Here's another reason why we need to reach out. And this is the thrust of Max Lucado's book. He talks about a fishing holiday he went on when he was a young lad. And he went with his mum and dad and his friend Mikey, and they went into the caravan where they were going to go fishing from. And it rained, and it was icy, and the conditions were not right for fishing. They couldn't go fishing. And they got cooped up in the caravan. And at first, Mikey was his best friend, and they got the Monopoly out, and they told jokes, and they sang songs. But the next morning, it was still wet and miserable, and they couldn't go out fishing. And they said, well, we'll have another day inside. Maybe it'll get better. And it didn't. And they went through all the same activities, and they went through all the same things, And young Max Licardo, as a boy, he noticed that his friend Mikey, that he normally gets on very well with, was a bit of a jerk, really. And his feet smelt. And he hadn't changed his socks since the previous day. And he just gently, in a spirit of love, pointed this out to his friend. And his friend was horrified and hit him. And he called for his dad to back him up, and his dad said, well, it was rude, wasn't it? You don't really say that kind of thing to people. And then he noticed what a jerk his dad was. And before they knew it, by the end of that week, what had been meant to be a fishing trip, they were all at each other's throats. Doesn't that happen in our assemblies? Doesn't that happen in our assemblies? When fishermen stop fishing, they fight. You know, get everyone out there. If there is conflict in your assembly, get everyone out there doing something. That's the way to avoid the fighting. And don't argue about this is the right way to do it, that's the right way to do it, the other's the right way to do it. The minute you do that, you stop fishing. You're not there to fight, you're there to fish. Get out of the caravan, get catching fish. That's your job, not the conflict. When fishermen stop fishing, they fight. And I want the Lord to forgive me to care more about that than I do about that. Why reach out? Not because our churches are dying. Many of them are. That's one reason, and a valid reason, but that's the main one. We've also got a vision to share with other Christians, and that's part of our outreach too, isn't it? Have you grasped it yet? Maybe you've not. God is doing a really exciting thing in this world right now, and perhaps those of us who've had the privilege of spending time abroad can really see this, that this thing that we're in is growing and is developing and is adapting to the global situation. God is doing an amazing thing in our day, and you and I have the privilege of being part of it. You know what an elevator pitch is, don't you? You go into the lift, and you explain something to somebody in the time it takes to get from the ground floor to the fifth floor. If you can do that, you've grasped what you're selling. If you can't, you haven't. Have you grasped what the point of Churches of God is? It's all in the Bible. That God is uniting the Christian world so that we're one in what we teach and what we do. And he's given us not only the vision for that, but the mechanism, if you like, the structure to make it happen. If you've not grasped it, go away and read up on it. And think, how would you explain this to my Christian friends? It's not offensive. It shouldn't be offensive. Maybe it is sometimes. But the point is, it also has the answers to the problems in their churches that they will tell you about themselves. Correctly grasped, the vision of the house of God is something that we can share and that will build up our Christian friends and benefit them. Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. That's what we want to happen after this event, that you'll go out not just into the little toe in the water, but launch out into the deep. Let down your nets for a catch. So just to finish, I'm going to read that story about the Lord Jesus. It's in Luke chapter 5, starting at verse 1. Oh, great, someone's given me some water. Whoever that was, thank you. On one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, and he saw two boats by the lake. But the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. Getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land, and he sat down and taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And Simon answered, "Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. But at your word, I will let down the nets." And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish, and their nets were breaking. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. Are you feeling a bit like that today? Yes, we've been to these seminars before. We've been motivated and inspired, and we've gone out, but we've caught nothing. People haven't got saved. Nobody came to this event or that event from having been out on the street. Do you know that feeling? Here's Peter, and he's saying, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing. The greatest poet who ever lived, T.S. Eliot, or as will be known in this room, Mr. Eliot, said, take no thought of the harvest, but only of proper sowing. I only agree up to a point. We do need to think of the harvest. But what we really need to think of is proper sowing, doing the job properly. At your word, says Peter, I will let down the nets. Yes, I'm discouraged. Yes, there's not been the results that we'd hoped for. But you're still commanding me to go. That commandment hasn't been called in. And at your word, I'll let down the nets for a catch. Don't give up. Don't stop. Leave the results with him. You do the sowing properly. Now, a lot of the things that we're looking at today in our exhibitions will not work in your assembly. Sorry to be negative, but not all of them will. You've not got the right people to do it, or you've not got the right area to do it. But look for the things that do match your situation. Look at the things that do match the community around you. Each individual is different. Sometimes we do this, don't we? Here's a man saying, I'm sure he'll fit, and he's trying to bash this man into the wrong sort of hole for his shape. Think of people as individuals, not just as people with scalps to kind of take off and hang on your wall. Everyone's an individual. Every community is individual and different. Match these ideas to the reality on the ground where you are, both the reality of your assembly and the reality of your community. But there's something that you can learn from all of these stalls, I'm quite sure of that. So we're thinking about how to move from our community to being able to speak about the Lord Jesus. Our assembly meetings are a different culture to the culture that the people around us live in. Just as the fisher's culture is water, to paraphrase Rick Warren's book, The Purpose-Driven Church, the fish live in water, and you put them in air, and that's not their environment, it's not their culture. And sometimes it's like that, bringing people from the community and bringing them into our assembly meetings. So we've got to equip them to survive in that different culture. And there's a lot of work that needs to be done. Different styles of gatherings, perhaps before people are ready to come to an assembly meeting. But that's the end point. We mustn't forget that's what we're leading people towards, to appreciate the remembrance and the prayers and all these things that are so valuable and precious to us, the ministry of the word, even the preaching of the gospel. Sometimes you've got to prepare people to get to that point. And a lot of these ideas are about that preparation. It's not one size fits all, but the goal is the same, to be disciples in a church of God, serving themselves. And this is how the story ends. They signal to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. Sometimes we're a bit like this in our assemblies. You know when you're doing your exam and you're kind of writing like that and you're wanting to make sure that nobody's going to see what you're writing? No, today we're signaling to the partners in the other boat and they're going to come and they're going to help us. And perhaps something is going on in a neighbouring assembly that you can help with and that matches your skill set and their need. No shame in that, nothing wrong with that. We're a team. We belong to one another, don't we? We're interrelated. We can help. So that's really the aim, that's really the purpose of today, reaching out and reaching out together.